This program is made possible by the members of the Church Street Baptist Church in Greensboro, North Carolina.
Tonight I want to talk to you. This morning I kindly peeled the fat off of the issue of music. Now, what you need to understand as I got into at the end of the service is that music is a two-edged sword. It can be used for bad, but as bad as the bad can be, on the other side of that sword, music is good. Music is created by God. And everything that has been created by God, God said in the beginning, He said, it is good. Music is one of the greatest blessings. I wonder, when was the last time that I stopped and said, Lord, I want to thank you that my ears have the ability to hear and that I have something to listen to. I found myself the last couple of months praising the Lord and trying to be thankful for the small things that I never pay attention to. I was thinking to the Lord the other day and I said, Lord, I want to thank you that I'm able to see color. And I want to thank you for making the sky blue, the grass green. And one thing I was thankful for this morning as I was in here praying was, Lord, I want to thank you for music and the ability that I have to listen to music. Psalm 150, let's read the whole psalm tonight. Let's read it out loud together as I talk to you tonight about the power of godly music. The power of godly music. Psalm 150, let's read it out loud together. Praise ye the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in the firmament of His power. Praise Him for His mighty acts. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. Praise Him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise Him with the psaltery and harp. Praise Him with the timbrel and dance. Praise Him with stringed instruments and organs. Praise Him upon the loud cymbals. Praise Him upon the high-sounding cymbals. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. The presence and the intricacies of music, the way that notes harmonize together, the way that melodies go together and they must be meshed just right with harmonies in order for it to be right. The intricacies of music are one of the greatest examples and evidences that there is a divine creator. If you want to look at intelligent design, study music for a semester in school. And you'll find that music is more intricately designed than any nuclear physicist could ever think about. It's interesting to me how music permeates every area of our existence. In restaurants, psychologists say if you want people to eat faster, play upbeat music. They say in shopping malls, if you want women to stop and ponder, if you'll ever listen, they're playing some type of classical music. They tell us that when armies would march before they drove in vehicles, if they wanted an army to march faster and more in step, there would always be music played. Army researchers will tell us, and military researchers will tell us, that when morale is low on the battlefield, they'll actually play music from the home country of the army that is on that field, and it will boost morale. Why? Because music has power. Psalm 150 is all about music and praise and the eyes of God. You could outline Psalm 150 like this. You could look in verse 1 and 2 and find the music of the cosmos. David said in Psalm 150, he said, praise Him in the firmament of His power. Praise Him for His mighty acts. Praise Him for His excellent greatness. Everything that is in existence today emits music. Every stitch of carpet emits what we call a sound wave. They say, geologists say that if you could take a rock and if you could get your ear honed in just right, that rocks emit a frequency. NASA found just a few years ago, they were able to hone in the telescopes on the outer edge of a black hole. And they said that a black hole emits a solid frequency of B flat and never stops. There was a NASA scientist, her name was Elizabeth Landau. She was with NASA's extra planet exploration program. This is what she said. She said, "We can't hear it with our ears, but the stars in the sky are performing a concert, one that never stops. The biggest stars make the lowest and the deepest sounds, like tubas and double basses. Small stars have a high-pitched voice like celestial flutes. These virtuosos don't play just one note at a time." She said, "Our own sun has thousands of different sound waves bouncing around itself at any given moment. The very sun itself is one contained music box." David knew it. So verse 1 and 2, he says there is music in the cosmos. And then he goes from verse 3 down to verse 5 and he talks about the music of the choir. He goes in and he talks about if there is going to be music ordained by the people of God, that everything God does is done decently and in order. And so he sets out from verse number 3 down through verse number 5, he tells us exactly how God desires the music of His church to be worked out. Then in verse number 6, we go from the music of the cosmos to from the music of the choir. Then we go to the very last verse, the music of the child of God, the Christian. Psalm 30, verse number 4, the Bible says, "Sing ye all His saints." Music is to be a part of the people of God's life. You know that feeling you get when you're riding down the road and you want to just turn the radio on? You know where that's coming from. That comes from deep down in the soul of your makeup, that God has formed you to be a singing creature, to be a creature that desires music, because music is a way that we express what's on the inside. You find in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18, 19, and 20, that being a Spirit-filled believer goes hand in hand with singing to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. I find that the most Spirit-filled people are people that just sing all the time. You're around them and they're humming. You get around them and they just whistle. You get around them and all they can do is just buzz. It's something inside. Whenever your spirit feels, there's something inside that just has to sing. How many of you ever heard the old adage that if you want to split a church, talk about music? Look, it's a classroom. Talk to me or I'm going to go home. Yeah, if you want to split a church, just talk about music. And most of the time where music gets everybody messed up, this is what they say. Well, I like to worship this way. And then you got the old timers in here that say, well, I like to worship this way. And then you got some of those people in there that don't have any idea what music is. They say, well, I like to worship this way. How many of you have youngins? Old, young, whatever. When you told them, go clean your room, and they go into that room and they clean that room, and you go to them and you say, this room is still a pigsty. If they looked at you and said, well, I cleaned it the way I liked it, what would you say? I didn't ask you to clean it the way you liked it. I want it done how I like it. You understand, worship and music is not about what preference you like. It's not about whether you like the good old down country home, banjo picking, guitar playing. It doesn't matter if you like this new sound where all this and that. You see, music and worship in the church has zero to do with how we like it and 100% to do with what God desires. And what you find is that He has told us in His Word how He likes it. Now, it's interesting to me that when we talk about music everybody gets real tense. Anytime a preacher ever wants to talk about music, it's always, he's ready to change something. Why don't you just suck your thumb and get over yourself? Brothers and sisters, it doesn't matter what you like and what I like. It only matters what the Lord Jesus has given us in His Word. And listen, if down home singing ain't right, I want to be right. If God tells me in His Word to take off my jacket, take my tie, wrap it around my neck and dance on my head, guess what I'm doing tonight? My jacket's coming off. This old red Paul Fredericks is getting wrapped around my neck and I'm doing a tiptoe on my head. If God tells me tonight that I'm going to wear a dress down to my ankles and sandals and grow a beard down to my belly button and a ponytail in the back, guess what Tyler's doing tonight? I'm cutting up every sports clip card I've got and I'm going to do what God says. Listen, I don't care what your preference or my preference is. I only care what the book says. And you can mark it down that something as important as music, God has told us how He likes it. So let's talk tonight about this godly music. Now, you and I, we all, look, we're not arguing over that. We all know that godly music needs to fill out. But putting what godly music is into a definition is not easy. Describing that to people, because just about the time that I hear some of these people that are so highfalutin and they got their nose about 14 inches stuck up in the air and everybody they come to, they're looking down it. And I call them high churchers. I'm talking about the people that wear the robe zipped up to their neck and all the way down to the ground. I'm talking about people that only allow this thing and that thing. And when you come in, they say, we have the right music. And they get up there, and before you know it, 19 people are asleep before the first verse is over with. And I look at them and I say, well, I'm reading this book and the Bible tells me that when you sing and when the people of God sing, that these people are dancing, these people are clapping, these people are shouting for joy, and the people are excited. Two and two aren't coming together on me there. And then I got these down-home church people, and I mean, they wear bib overhauls and they have the pinto bean potlucks. And they got banjos, and they got guitars, and they got fiddles. And you know the difference between a fiddle and a violin, don't you? Saturday night and Sunday morning. There ain't no difference between a fiddle and a violin. And I mean, they're down there, they're tapping, they're playing, they're going, they say, isn't God good? And I mean, I'm listening to that music, and I'm thinking, all right, take those words out and talk about how your wife took your dog and took your four-wheel drive and plug it right in. They sound the exact same. We can just get down, we can get straight tonight, can't we, folks? It's Sunday night. Well, then I've got this new age mess that's come into the church. And honest before God, I don't feel the Holy Ghost on none of it. I'm not trying to be ugly about anything, but I mean, I ain't felt God within 1,000 miles of half that stuff. And so I'm trying to figure out where have we missed it. Here's why and how we've missed it. You can't put God in some Rubbermaid, made for everybody box. People that say God is this style, God will say, uh-uh. And I'm this, no. God doesn't do styles. God doesn't like Southern gospel and God don't like high church. God likes what He likes. And He's orchestrated it according to His. Now, some of you are looking a little tense on me, but I promise you, I'll preach just like I did this morning. It ain't going to hurt my feelings, not near a bit. Corey's checking out on me next week. I'll go with him up to Eden, be his assistant pastor. Say amen right there. What I'm trying to tell you is if we are going to be a right church, you've got to be a biblical church. So here's what I want to give to you tonight. Number one, let me talk to you about the definition of godly music. What, if somebody asked you, what is godly music? How would you describe it? A lot of us would try to describe it by style. It's not a style. Here's what the definition of godly music is. Godly music is any combination of resonant notes that make you think about God. That's the definition of godly music. Any combination of notes or resonant sounds that make you think about God. I didn't say make you think about what you think about God. I didn't say what you hope He's like. Any group of sounds that make you think about God. Riding down the road, get out to go walk, and the birds start singing. If the sound of the bird makes you think about the goodness of God, guess what the bird just sang to you? He sang you a godly song. If at the night you look up into the sky and you see the stars twinkling everywhere, and those stars and the twinkle of those stars make you think about the bigness of the Creator in heaven, guess what the stars just sang to you? They sang to you a godly worship song. What if tonight, if the choir sings with guitar and organ and piano, and all you could think about was the goodness of God, guess what you just heard? A godly song. You say, but I like this style. Here's what we got to get in our mind. You do realize music is very generational. What music sounded like in 1930, it didn't sound like when you old-timers came along in 1960. And what you old-timers heard in 1960, Lord God, thank you, Jesus, it doesn't sound like that today. Because music has what we call a circular pattern. Instruments come and instruments go. It's not about the style. It's about, does it make you think about the God that created you? That's the definition of godly music. Now, God's not just going to leave it to that, because some of you are thinking, well, hot dog, I'm going to put my Janet Jackson, or I'm going to put my LaToya back in, because it makes me think about how good God is. No, 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 no. We've just started scratching the surface. Because now we go to the second area in Psalm 150, and we see that godly music is described. We're defining it because any type of music that draws my attention to God is godly. But now God goes on to describe it. Mamas, can I ask you a question? Your youngins, you get teenagers, isn't it amazing how teenagers put you on your toes? Start asking you questions and all these things you thought you knew all those years? Isn't it amazing how a teenager, as dumb as a rock as they are, make you feel as dumb as a rock? Well, Mama, why can't I do that? And this is the classic line you just jump to. And I know, and I say it all the time, because I said so. Youngins, can I tell you what that means? I don't have a clue, but I want it done. Why can't I listen? What do you want me to listen to? I'm going to help you. Here's what the Bible tells us godly music is. Number one, godly music is a set of music that is concentrated on the work of God. Notice what Psalm 150 verse 1 says. Praise ye the Lord. Praise Him in His sanctuary. Praise Him in the firmament of His power. Verse 2, praise Him for His mighty acts. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. You see, what godly music does is it makes you think about what He's done. It may be what He's done for you, but there's a brand new series of songs that are coming out and music that are coming out. And this is what they have a whole lot of this one word in it. You know what it is? Oh, God, how You brought me through. How I almost fell. How I almost sank. How I almost didn't make it, Jesus. And that's what they do. They throw just a little Jesus in there. That's not a God. That doesn't make you think about what God's done. You know why people harp so much on the old hymns? Because all of the old hymns were what we called God-centered. There was no me. There was no I. It was all God. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. The Lord has promised good to me. His word, everything in these old songs, it points you to God. But there's been a circular movement in our day. You know what the problem in America and around the world is? We like us. Oh, we like what we wear, we like what we say, we like what we do. And if I don't like what you said about me, I don't like it. And if I don't like what you said about my youngin', I don't like it. And if I don't like what you said about my mama, and I don't like, you know, you think we'd be better people as much as we think about ourselves. But it gets into our Christian music. Listen, you can't glorify God if you're busy glorifying you. It don't happen. It can't happen. So you say, so what style of music should I listen to? Any type that glorifies the work of Christ. I don't care if they pick a banjo and talk about how God pulled me out of the muck and mire, saved my sorry soul, baptized me in the power of the Holy Ghost, blessed me with the good things of God, pulled me out of hell, saved me with the blood. Pick it on a banjo, honey. You say, I can't play a banjo. Then pick your nose, but talk about God. You see, godly music talks and concentrates on the work of God. Mama, you're not going to like what and how the music sang. You know why? Because we're old. Bob, we're old. Bill Gaither's old and all his stuff is old. It's just the way it is. But God raises up people today that still glorify the Lord. People talk about it all the time. Contemporary. I know what they mean. But contemporary is what? Just means new. In Christ alone. That song was written in the last 10 years. You see, it has nothing to do. Don't be such a shallow believer that all we do are live in titles. We can't live in titles. If we live in titles, we'll be defined by titles. I want to be defined by the Word of God. So it has to be concentrated, here we go, on the work of God. Number two, godly music is controlled by the stringed instruments. Now follow me for just a second, Scott. You hop here, Cheryl, you hop there, and Dwayne, you stay right there with your guitar. Okay? So it concentrates on the work of God. But number three, it will be controlled by the stringed instruments. I want you to notice something, if you will, in verse number three, verse four and verse five. David gives three kinds of instruments. Here's what he says. Praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise him with the psaltery and the harp. Praise him with the timbrel and the dance. Praise him with the stringed instruments and the organs. Praise him upon the high cymbals. Praise him upon the high sounding cymbals. There's three types of music, boys. All right, you ready? There's stringed instruments. There's wind instruments. And there's percussion instruments. All instruments fall into one of those three categories. Stringed, wind, percussion. All right? The piano is a stringed instrument. What causes the sound to come out of it is when Scott hits a key and just hold it down, all right? There is a hammer that hits a string, all right? Inside of this are strings, okay? Dwayne has a stringed instrument, a guitar, a bass, all right? When he strums, all right? What that is the vibration of the strings. Now, this is our makeshift organ. Now, this is the second kind. It's a wind instrument. What is a wind instrument? An instrument that is made, that is fed by wind is something, whether it's a tube, it is the sound that is made by wind passing through it. And this mimics it. This is an organ, all right? Just play something, okay? And what that mimics is the sound of an organ when wind passes through a pipe. The third kind of sound, or the third kind of instrument, is a percussion instrument. What are those? You ain't got to be afraid of it, Baptist. What are they? Drums. Okay? So you've got string, wind, and percussion. Now I want you to notice something that David says. How and what makes, Brother Bob, godly music? Are you ready? In the Bible, David constantly mentions stringed instruments. He'll call them the psaltery. He'll call them the harp. He'll call it the lyre. He'll call it the kinnor. He'll call it the harp. He'll talk about stringed instruments. Then he'll talk about the flutes. He'll talk about the trumpets. Those are wind instruments. And then he'll talk about the cymbals. He'll talk about the timbrels. The timbrels are tambourines. What are those? Percussion. Okay? Now watch this. Never in the Bible will you ever find percussion or wind instruments that are not accompanied by stringed instruments. But many times in the Bible, you'll see stringed instruments all by itself. Let me give you an illustration of that. Take your Bible, hold your place, and go to Psalm 144. Psalm 144, verse 9. Psalm 144, verse 9, I will sing a new song unto thee, O God, upon the what? Psaltery, that's a harp, and an instrument of 10 strings. Now, nowhere in there do you hear about percussion instruments or wind instruments, but you never hear music being led by percussion instruments and wind instruments. Now, Scott, what key do y'all play Amazing Grace in? G? Okay, now, here's what we're going to do, okay? I don't have any percussion instruments up here. I didn't want to give some of you folks a heart attack by walking in and seeing drum set on the stage. Amen right there. But the problem you have today with most modern music is it sounds a whole lot like this. Am I right about it? Yeah, I'm right about it. Am I telling the truth? Yeah. It's just one big cymbal after another. It's like this. Just hit a G chord in just a second. When I point to you, hit a G chord. This is what most modern sound. And that's all the piano you get. Okay. I want to show you something. Cheryl, on the organ, this is why pianos, stringed instruments, lead the singing. Cheryl, just play Amazing Grace like you would accompanying. Just like. There's nothing wrong with it. All right, all right. Now, Dwayne, that was a wind instrument, right? That's not supposed to be accompanying. Now, Scott, just real soft, you start playing Amazing Grace, and Cheryl, you kick in. All right, so Scott, you start. So the strings are leading, and the winds starts accompanying. You see the fullness of the sound? All right, guys. All right, that's good. Now, what does Dwayne have? What kind of instrument? Stringed. Now, Dwayne, just start playing Amazing Grace. You'll never find in the Bible where stringed instruments are not leading music. All right, Dwayne, stop. So here's a question. As you're listening to music today, if the music is constantly led by percussion, boom, 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 you know it's not God-driven music. But music that is controlled by the piano or the guitar or some type of stringed instrument and is aided by the wind instruments and aided by percussion instruments, that's the divine order. Now, Scott, let's all put it together real soft, Amazing Grace. You start, Dwayne, you go, and then Cheryl, you kick in with them. All right. Sure. All music doesn't have to sound like that, but that's the divine order that God desires to have set in place, where pianos, guitars, and stringed instruments. All right, guys? All right, let's stop. Now, here's the question. And I asked the Holy Ghost this the other day. Why? Why are stringed instruments the ones that lead? Because it's a picture of salvation. These wires, these strings in here today are made of metal. Guitar strings are made of metal. But do you know in Bible days how a stringed instrument was made? It had two elements. Number one, it was made of a tree that got cut down. A dulcimer was a piece of wood. A harp was a piece of wood that was cut down. But do you know how they made the strings? Here's what they'd do. They'd take a lamb that they slain, and after they'd gutted it of the blood, they would take the sheep guts, and they would wind the guts, dry them out and wind the guts together, and they'd make the strings. The reason God uses stringed instruments to lead is because all godly music is to tell us about salvation. You know how a stringed instrument was made? A lamb had to die and had to be strung on a tree. Every song we sing is supposed to tell us about the God that died for us. God gave us music so we could hear about the goodness of salvation by grace through faith. Now, here's what I want to get to. I want to get to this last one. How can you determine godly music? I want you to look at Psalm 150, then I'm going to be done. Psalm 150. How can you determine godly music in a church? Here's the greatest tip. Here's the greatest rule. You ready? Godly music will create unity. And music that is not godly will create division. Watch this. Psalm 150, verse 1. Praise who? Ye! Who's that? That's me. That's you. That's yourself. So in the beginning of music, I'm the one doing it. Praise ye. Go to verse 6. How does verse 6 end? Let everything. This music has so glorified God that it's gone out from me and it's brought everybody together. People ask me all the time, they say, well, how do I know that my kids are listening to godly music? I'll say this, are you fighting more? You arguing more? You fussing and fighting? You mad at your mama? You mad at your youngin'? Anything that brings division is not of God the Spirit. The Holy Ghost brings unity. Now let me preach my message right quick. Here's why I love music so much. What does godly music do to you? Number one, it soothes the soul. How many of you remember in 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse number 26, when David is called into King Saul, and evil spirits come on King Saul, and all of a sudden old David's in there playing that music. Old Saul's eat up by that evil spirit. And David gets to turping on that tarp. He gets to playing on that old sheep's gut. And that song of salvation, it gets to blessing old Saul. And Saul's not even a born-again man. Saul's a type of the Antichrist. And that music of salvation, Bob, that music of that lamb put on that tree, it takes that old evil spirit and throws it out. I'll tell you right now, I get so torn up in my soul sometimes, my nerves getting a twisted knot. I mean, I get so mad at this and I get so mad at that, and God will send a song down my way and it soothes my soul. It's like a balm to my heart. I'm telling you, beloved, if you don't know the peace that God sends music down your way when you get home tonight, get your nerves tore up, get your mind so tore up, your husband tears up your nerves, your wife tears up your nerves, here's what you do. You go in a little quiet room in your house. You find you a guitar player on YouTube that's doing nothing but playing Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound. You set that phone on Do Not Disturb. Put it in that closet. Turn it wide up and you just sit there and listen. I'll tell you what'll happen. It'll be a sweet spirit that'll come in that closet. It'll rip that old anxiety out of you. It'll rip that fear out of you. It'll rip that deal out of you, because good godly music will soothe the soul. Number two, it salutes the Creator. Ezra chapter 3, verse number 11, they get back down there. They get down to Jerusalem, and they're dedicating the temple. And here's what Ezra 3:11 says, and they sang together by chorus and praising and giving thanks unto God, because He is good, for His mercy endureth forever toward Israel. You say, why does music bless God so much? Because He created it. And when the creation uses something that the Creator made to glorify His Creator power, God gets glory out of that. And here's what you've got to understand. I've been in dead dry services before. I've been in services where God wasn't within 1,000 miles of that service, and some old saint of God full of the Holy Ghost, she may not have had a trained voice, but she knew God, and she got up there and started talking about how good her Maker was, how good her Savior was, got to talking about the power of the blood. I have felt the Holy Ghost come down in that house. You say, why does that happen? Here's why that happens. Because because the Bible says in Psalm chapter 22, verse number 3, that God inhabits the praises of His people. What does it mean to inhabit? It means to sit down in the midst of. I've seen those saints of God get up and sing, honey, and God sit down in that church, and you got Deadhead Ed over here, and you got dried up Betty Sue on that side. You got old mean McAdoo on the back row, but honey, somebody has got torn up from the floor up, and she gets to singing full of God, and God says, I think I like the sound of that. He steps out of the third heaven. He drops down into where they are, and He says, I think I'll sit here just a while. And you know what happens when God shows up? Light shows up. You know what happens when light shows up? Darkness has to flee. You know what happens when people sitting in darkness get a hold of light? They get happy. That's the power of godly music. Now watch this. Music will shout a message. I have heard people, Exodus chapter 15, verse number 1, David says, sing the song of our deliverance, O Israel. I can tell you over and over about the grace of God. And some of you won't even remember what the word I use when you get out of here. I'll talk about something, I get out of here, it irritates the ever-loving devil out of me. I get out of here and then somebody, I'll be preaching revival. And all I do in revival is preach the same messages I preach here. I try not to give them new stuff. I just preach here. And they come up to me, they say, that's the best message I've ever heard you preach. I appreciate that. They say, you need to preach that at our church. But it's always so amazing to me how one person can get up and sing a song. And that's the first time people have ever heard that song. And guess what they go out doing? Humming that melody. And they may not know it, but they'll go out singing, when I lay my Isaac down, broken heart. You know what music does? It has a way of settling in the soil of the soul and blooming forth into life everlasting a whole lot quicker than words. Here's the fourth thing good godly music will do. It'll sustain the soul. It sustains that weary soul. Acts chapter number 16, verse number 25. You remember what Paul and Silas are doing? They're down in the midnight prison. They're down shut up in the innermost Mamertine prison of the Romans. And all of a sudden, in the darkness of that midnight, in the darkness of that prison, the Bible says Paul and Silas get to singing at midnight. I wonder if at any moment that either one of those boys said, I'm tired, I'm done, I want to go to the house, I don't want to do this anymore, I'm throwing in the towel. I believe Silas probably looked at Paul and said, Paul, I don't want to be here anymore, I don't want to be around here anymore, I don't want to talk about this thing anymore. I believe old Paul got one of the Psalms and started singing, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He maketh me. And all of a sudden he gets to going. He gets to singing. I believe Silas, he begins to say, well, I guess I should sing. I got nothing else to do. And old Silas gets to singing. And before he knows it, he forgets how tired he is. He forgets how weird. Have you ever been driving down the road just about ready to hang everything in your path, ready to strangle everybody that comes in your way? You're ready to knock somebody. You're just praying to God somebody runs a red light on you because you're ready to honk that horn, get out in front of them, cut them off, slash their tires, talk about how sorry their mama is, and ruin everything in their way. And about that time when you're done, about the time when your weary soul is absolutely over with, God sends something on that radio, and that song comes on that radio, and it's an old tune from yesteryear, it's an old tune from yesterday, and you start humming that song, and you say, well, I may as well go on and sing it. And about the time you start singing that song, God brings peace to your heart. God brings strength to your weariness. God brings help to your life. You say, what is that? That's the power of godly music. I want to challenge the people of God. Be a singing people. Be a people that love music. Be a people that always are singing. Be ye filled with the Spirit, singing to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart. But as you sing unto the Lord, and as you listen to music, and as you dance, download more music. And as you get full of the Holy Ghost on music, be discerning and make sure that you don't get swept up. Make sure it's music that honors God, and it's music that tells how good He is, and it's music that talks about how big your God is and how much you want to trust Him, how much you want to serve Him, how much you want to walk with Him. You say, what if it's got drums? As long as they're aiding on them stringed instruments, honey, you get up like David and start dancing in the Holy Ghost. You say, I can't dance. Get full of God one good time, honey. You'll cut you a Holy Ghost jig like you've never done in your born days. You be a singing people. You be a worshiping people. You be a people that know God and know what honors God. Be a people that love God.